you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us, from World Affairs Brief, Derek Skousen. Hi, Derek. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Doing great.
Well, Derek, of course, is one of the editors of the webpage up there, and if you don't go to World Affairs Brief every day, why you just really don't know what's going on in the world, because, as you know, the media is controlled. Five major corporations dominate the U.S. media, but we do have alternatives to the Internet, and there you're going to be able to read things from the Asia Times and the India Times and Reuters and really from all across the world. And you'll get information that you really need to understand what's going on. So what are the latest issues you'd like to talk about today?
Well, let's see. There are a lot of different stories coming in over the week from all over the world. We are seeing a couple of different types of news that are coming out kind of from the direction of Guantanamo. Basically, some of the agents and lawyers and prosecutors otherwise who have been involved in Guantanamo over the last little while have started to talk, and we're seeing some memos being leaked about some of the different kinds of complaints that the agents from the FBI or from the military prosecutors have been putting out to their superiors about the way that the way the things in general have been prosecuted at Guantanamo Bay. And what it is it is creating kind of a paper trail on the other side, a paper trail among those at the lower levels of the military and law enforcement areas who are complaining about the kinds of orders that they're receiving to treat the prisoners in the wrong way, to manipulate the courts and the trial situation and everything surrounding the Guantanamo Bay picture, so that the news is managed and the perception is managed, and yet the overall agenda that the Bush administration seems to be following is maintained in the long run.
Well, that's really rather frightening. If we cannot trust our government, if they really are certainly torturing people and taking away their rights, and if this is well known and yet it's being blacked out by the regular media, then is any man's rights in this country really protected? If they will violate international law in the name of pursuing this war, then can we guarantee that they'll protect our freedom?
And to a certain extent, this is the concern that some of these lower-level lawyers and prosecutors, FBI agents, and others have been having. We're getting some leakages of some concerned emails, memos, letters, phone calls, etc., by these lower-level people saying, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense.
All right, you hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And we're going to be talking right now about what's going on at Guantanamo and the fact that there is information coming out from some of the people there pointing out that we're mistreating the prisoners, that the trials of these so-called war criminals are really not fair, that information is being withheld, and that innocent people are potentially being sent to prison for indefinite periods of time. And many of the people, the honorable people we have within our military, are upset about this and trying to get the information out. Now, this goes right up to the very top, right up to the Secretary of Defense and Donald Rumsfeld, who is allowing this sort of thing to happen. And if we have people in the administration who are willing to violate our laws and international laws and the laws of God and humanity, is any man's life or property safe? And if men and women aren't concerned about what's being done in Guantanamo, then will they have any right to complain if it happens to them? Because remember, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And with that, Derek Skousen, you pick up the story.
So the first story from the Guantanamo area is reported by the New York Times. And they were reporting how two government prosecutors were complaining last year that the military commissions who are set up to to try the detainees. Basically, these commissions were little more than kangaroo courts, according to these prosecutors. So these are the prosecutors themselves who are complaining that the trial system is being secretly arranged to improve the chances of conviction and to deprive defendants of material that could prove their innocence.
Now, why would they want to send innocent people to prison? Or do they have to, perhaps, as show trials like we saw in Castro's Cuba or in Stalin's Russia, are these show trials, or are they really interested in the truth? And if our court system is interested in the truth for, the people we've captured, during battle, why, what will happen to our men when they are captured by the enemy?
That's right. And so, for example, as we read this Times article, we can see that the prosecutors here are alleging that the chief prosecutor told his subordinates who are concerned about this issue that the first four defendant members tried by the military commission are going to be, quote-unquote, handpicked to ensure that all would be convicted. Basically, they're putting this whole thing together as a way to make sure that that convictions go through, that the appearance of the war on terror being prosecuted in a successful way is going forward, whether or not the prosecutions are just.
Well, I think this should cause everybody to really be very, very concerned, because when our leaders, of course, ignore the law, then no man's life or family are safe. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Derek is pointing out that several of the prosecutors in these trials that are being held at Guantanamo, several of the prosecutors are upset because the trials aren't fair to the defendants. And they believe in this idea of law, and they believe in this idea of justice, and they believe that defendants should have a right to defend themselves. And yet he points out that the head man in charge of the prosecution has said, we're going to withhold information, we're going to be sure that these people are going to be convicted, and we're not going to give them an opportunity, in effect, to defend themselves. We're going to get them convicted, in essence, whether they're guilty or not. And what a horrible thing to think that this could happen within the U.S. military system or anywhere within our court system. Pick up the story from there, Derek.
Well, and it's not just the prosecutors themselves, although I think that's rather interesting that the prosecutors of the cases are concerned about the way that the defendants are being mistreated. I think that shows that there's a level of manipulation of justice that all parties involved in the whole process are have concerns associated with it. But it is clear that the manipulations of justice are coming down from the highest levels, and it is these lower level prosecutors that are concerned about the overall agenda. So these are the kind of memos and things that we're starting to see coming out from the Guantanamo area. And yet Guantanamo has been kind of a central location where a variety of prosecutors, FBI agents, etc., have a fair amount of visibility, apparently, into this backdoor agenda that's being prosecuted by the Bush administration and the law enforcement and military organizations underneath him. There is another memo that was written 3 years ago by the FBI supervisor who was assigned to Guantanamo. And in that memo, the FBI agent is writing about the sending of detainees off to different countries that practice torture so that the other countries can deal with these detainees in a way that would look bad if the United States did the same kind of activity.
Why would a Christian nation do this sort of thing? This, of course, if this represents Christianity, how are the rest of the world going to look at Christianity? How are the Muslims throughout the rest of the world going to look at Christianity? Because they're looking to us for leadership. And, of course, we're betraying what's right, and we're sending people to be tortured. We were incensed when our men were tortured by the communists. In fact, they wouldn't even allow the people who were tortured on the Pueblo by the North Koreans to tell anybody what had happened to them, because we knew that would inflame the American people against the North Korean government and would demand we do something. The same thing really happened after Vietnam. They did not want the American people to know. And yet, believe me, every Arab in the world and every Muslim in the world knows about the torture of the people at Guantanamo, and we send them off to other places to be tortured. Do you know a better way to inflame the entire Muslim world against America? In fact, the entire world against America?
Yes, no doubt. It is, in fact, the entire world has a great deal of visibility to this. A lot of the news stories that we see about this process and this is a standard process. This is a regular modus operandi of the CIA to arrest people in the United States, in Canada. In fact, they've been arresting people all over the world in different countries. American agents arresting citizens of different countries, shipping them off to countries like Egypt, Syria, and Turkey, and to these major prison systems where they undergo torture and can get the kind of whatever confessions or et cetera that is apparently needed to prosecute the war on terror according.
Well, if they would do that to somebody at Guantanamo, would they do that to an American citizen? We know they did it to a Canadian citizen because he was sent off to Syria to be tortured. Supposedly, Syria, the enemy, who's financing the insurgents, and yet we send a Canadian off to Syria to be tortured. Something's wrong with the picture, not only because we sent him to be tortured, but because we sent him to Syria, who's financing the insurgents today in Iraq.
That's right, and that was the first story that I, in fact, heard about this process of rendition that the CIA and the FBI are involved with was when this Canadian individual finally got out of this incredible experience that he went through, and he talked about it to the Canadian press, and that's where we heard about this. What we have started to see now are some memos by this FBI supervisor who was assigned to Guantanamo, and he's writing, and this is about 3 years ago that this particular memo came out that was reported by Newsweek, this practice of shipping detainees off to other countries to be tortured is in fact against the U.S.'s values about torture. And as an FBI agent and a lawyer, he's warning his superiors that to ship these terror suspects off to foreign nations basically is something that the U.S. could be prosecuted for in terms of international law, and also sets them up for indictments according to U.S. law. So he's basically warning his superiors that there is a great deal of risk associated with future indictment with this kind of extraordinary rendition policy.
But where is the outcry from the Christian public people here? Where is the outcry from our churches and our Christian leaders? And it is deafening in its silence.
It is. And it's not just the deafening silence, but it's the interesting response that this particular FBI agent got from his superiors as he sent them up. Basically, they wrote back saying that they weren't worried. The American people wouldn't cry out. That they were confident that in their position on this. That even though that they seemed to indicate that they understood that there were no legal grounds or basis, in fact, for this horrible process that they were putting in place, that in fact they felt that they were protected from that, from the American people in that sense.
But, you know, Derek, it's certainly not only the laws of this land and international law, but what about God's law? Do you think God's law, God is going to just stand there, you know, or is he going to, of course, bring terrible punishment on this country? And as Thomas Jefferson had said so long ago, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And if the Christians of this country don't have the courage to speak up, if the Christians don't accept the fact that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, then, of course, I believe God's judgment is coming on America, and I tremble for my country.
That's right. The risks are mounting, and because the testimonials from both sides of this this terrible practice are coming out of the woodwork, and there are more and more people out ready to testify against this position, both inside the government and who have been underneath this this practice of there have been more than 100 people who have been flown off to these other countries to be tortured by the United States based on a classified directive that was signed by President George Bush after 9/11, allowing and implementing this policy to be run by the FBI and the CIA.
Well, just because he claims to be a Christian, that doesn't justify doing something that's wrong, because he's going to be answerable to God. And we are all going to be answerable if we don't speak out in opposition to it. So I share your concern, Derek. And I really think the American people, they have an obligation to be involved. And if they're not involved, then by their inaction, they become part of the problem.
That's right. So it's a big concern as we watch and see the kinds of the kinds of underground activity that are being done and are being it's being set up as a regular process inside these law enforcement agencies, that these kinds of activities which are being hidden, since they know that the American people would not support it, and they know, in fact, that not only the American people would not support it, but the U.S. legal system and the whole system of government does not allow for these kinds of activities, and yet the government organizations are implementing them anyway.
And, of course, one of the things, really hypocrisy, one of our leading Christian leaders, and I'll name him, his name is Gary Bauer, who I've always in the past had great admiration for him, but since he's really a member of the Project for the American Century and an apologist for their radical views, and if you doubt that, go to the newamericancentury.org website, you'll find Gary Bauer there. And Gary Bauer, I've got some of the things he wrote in saying, well, yes, you know, but what about what those terrible Muslims are doing? They're beheading people. Why they're chopping off arms and legs, and they're doing all of these terrible things. Look at how terrible the Muslims are. And I don't question that at all. But because they do wicked things, does that give us the right to do wicked things? What about the moral positions? And how many of American servicemen have they captured and tortured? They may have beheaded some of them. They may have even executed some of them. Although, I've always been very curious as to who really executed Nicholas Berg, the American who was captured over there. In fact, the last people who had him was the American government. Then we see him wearing a military-issue orange jumpsuit, sitting on a military a chair, surrounded by masked men, and the next thing we know, somebody's chopped off his head. But we don't know who really executed him. And after all, since he'd been in association with Zacharias Massui, the 20th hijacker, and if you go up on the internet, you'll find out that Nicholas Berg, the man that the Muslims, so-called, were told executed, had been affiliating with Zacharias Massui, and many people think that he was actually a CIA worker. And who really killed Nicholas Berg? Well, they justify what we're doing by what happened to Nicholas Berg. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women have to be involved. We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest, Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief. But remember, people become equally guilty by their silence as by their actions. We'll be back in just a moment. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000. This is Health.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Saving for retirement or the kids' college education? Nothing holds its value like gold. That's why smart money investors have always included gold and silver in their saving and investing strategies. Today, that strategy is paying off big time. In the last 3 years, gold has increased in value over 50%, and silver has nearly doubled. The U.S. dollar has lost over 90% of its original buying power. How's that 401k doing? If you're saving U.S. dollars for your future, you need to call the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042, and begin accumulating gold and silver right now. Protect your future buying power before enrollment or retirement day arrives. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources have been helping people just like you for over a decade. Call Colonial Resources, 800-685-4042. Ask for a free report on how to add gold, silver, and U.S. collector coins to your portfolio. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Derek, is there anything else you want to say on this, or should we go to another subject?
Well, I think we can move off to a variety of subjects that are related to this. What we were talking about, essentially, was the fact that there's a great deal of backdoor processes and underground activities being waged by the by law enforcement, both here in the United States and internationally, to prosecute the war on terror commanded by the Bush administration, and is done in a way that would basically turn the stomach of freedom-loving people all over the world.
Well, you know, Derek, I read a very interesting article on your website today. And it was referring, of course, to the original London bombers. Of course, the one thing about this is there's a lot of question as to whether these men were suicide bombers or whether they were actually simply fooled by somebody else. And everything would point to the fact that these people bought round-trip tickets. Now, why would a suicide bomber buy a round-trip ticket? And why would they getting a 7-day pass for the car they're going to leave in the parking lot? And everything would suggest that these people didn't think the bombs were going to go off. And, of course, what they didn't understand, they were radio-controlled, and apparently they all were blown up. The article on the 27th of June in the New York Times raised the question, who is it that really was controlling them? Were these perhaps people who really weren't very smart, who was used by somebody who was very smart? And then I read an article just today on World Affairs Brief pointing out that many people think that the man behind this was a Muslim who had strong ties to American and British intelligence. The article written by a Canadian professor. I'm sure you know the article I'm speaking about.
Yes, that's right. The article in Global Research Canada refers to the information coming out that that these suicide bombers, or quote-unquote suicide bombers, were actually involved with a person who had a lot of ties to British intelligence and American intelligence.
Could that be why, when they'd been repeatedly warned by the Pakistanis, and we have the articles from Pakistan saying, we kept telling them there were going to be an attack on the trains, why... is that why the British people reduced the level of surveillance going on the trains?
It's interesting to note that the British intelligence seemed to know quite a bit more about the timing of the bombings than what they seemed to let on later and what they've been talking about later. And that's something that we saw during the first day or so after the bombings occurred, when there's this flurry of news reports about who knew what and other things. As we learned that a variety of people had been warned earlier on, and that there were systems set in place to manage the bombing as it went forward, systems set in place by the government organizations and people who were hired by somebody connected to the government and intelligence services to put a variety of warning people in place of extra emergency systems and personnel in place to handle this bombing, all under the guise of of an exercise, quote unquote, that was set up to handle and to practice the very thing that happened while they were working on that exercise.
But one of the most significant things is the videotapes in all of those cars, in every one of the trains, every bus, everywhere in England today, they have videos, and all that video footage seems to have disappeared. It's like the footage that was shot outside the Murrah building on the day of the bombing of the Murrah building back in 1995, or the video footage of the plane crashing into the Pentagon. All that video footage has disappeared.
Yes, and that's critical, because in all of the examples that we've talked about, there are a great many witnesses who were in those cars that blew up, that survived, who were talking about what they saw and how they saw it. And the problem is that so many of these witness accounts, all witnesses' accounts, when you have lots of witnesses, have variations associated with them. But there's a great deal of accounts that do not jive with the quote-unquote official story that has been made.
But what possible reason would there be for not being forthright? Was it the timing of the bombing to coincide with the renewal of the Patriot Act by the United States Senate, or the falling support for Tony Blair, or the falling support for George Bush, or the timing of this, I think, is really so significant. Those terrorists did everything they could to make sure that the Patriot Act would be renewed by the United States Senate. Wasn't that thoughtful of them?
That's right. The timing of it all was very interesting to see who was all in London. It seemed like half the world had their eyes on London. There was the setting up of so many different legislation activities associated with the war on terror.
Hold on, all right there. We're going to have to take a quick break.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down the eastern coast a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Hi, Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know.
Did investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Derek Skousen, and we were talking about the London bombing and the... you know, why would they conceal all the video footage? You would think they'd want the American people to know, the British people to know, what really took place in those cars, the train cars and the subway cars and in the bus. But apparently most of that footage has just sort of disappeared, like the footage that was shot out in front of the Murrow building on April 19th, 1995, or the day that the plane crashed into the Pentagon. So pick up the story, Derek.
That's right. There's a lot of conflicting evidence coming out about the London bombings as the people who were involved in the bombings are getting out of the hospital and talking about what they went through, and so it's conflicting with the official story. And of course, what would be very helpful to help try and explain some of these conflicts would be the videos that were all over the place. As many people know, London is one of the most highly surveilled cities in the world. It has more cameras per square mile than just about any other place. And all of these cameras, of course, are managed by the law enforcement and security agencies of the government. And so they certainly have a great deal of video footage of each of these train cars, of each of the stations, of the streets where the bus bomb went off. They, in fact, use some of this video to point out and find out who the four men that they now claim were the quote unquote suicide bombers. And yet as the witnesses are talking about what they saw, it doesn't quite correspond with all of the same aspects of, you know, whether or not these were suicide bombers, whether or not even the bombs were in backpacks necessarily. For example, one case has to do with a journalist by the name of Mark Falk details how he interviewed a 32-year-old dance instructor by the name of Bruce Late, who was actually in one of the cars that blew up. And as he was being taken out of the cars, he wasn't seriously injured, but he was injured and was giving his story from the hospital bed. The policeman said, quote, "Mind the hole, that's where the bomb was." And he looked down, and the metal was pushed upwards from the floor of the train, as if the bomb was underneath the train. And that made him think, as he watched the news later on, and he just didn't recognize that there were, you fought back, and there wasn't anybody on the train who fit the description of any of the suicide bombers. On that car that he was in, where the bomb went off, he says, I remember there was an Asian guy, there was a white guy with some tracksuit trousers and a baseball cap, there were two old ladies sitting opposite me, and he says he doesn't remember anyone who had a bag, who could be holding a bomb, who was near that point of detonation. There wasn't a bomber sitting there. There was no bag there, but the bomb went off anyway from somewhere underneath the train.
Well, of course, then what happened to the videos that were taken in that car that day? And for some reason or other, the authorities are withholding that information. And why can't they let the British people know the truth about what really happened in that? All they have to do is show it, and they would have the man sitting there, but they don't have the footage, or they won't show it.
That's right. It's very clear that that information is being withheld, information is being locked up, information is being blown up. For example, as they were investigating the four men who supposedly died as suicide bombers and brought the bombs in on their backpacks, they tracked them back to a meeting place at a YMCA outside of London, and instead of going in and doing detective work on the YMCA area, they sent the superiors ordered a demolition team to come in and send in robots, and they blew up the building before going inside and taking any evidence. So effectively destroying any potential evidence to find out, you know, how those bombs are created, what kind of people might have been in there directing the four men who were accused of blowing up the subway in 9/11. So the evidence isn't just being locked up and hidden, it's being destroyed, it's being blown up, and it's all being done by the British intelligence and law enforcement services.
And the same thing happened, of course, after 9/11. We have the article, and we still have it in our files, where the supervisor, who was in charge of a number of the people who were tracking the flights for the FAA, the flight controllers, and they all gave their testimony exactly what they saw that day, the very day, so it would be there. And, of course, the man in charge kept that for, maybe several months. And then, he, according to the article, he crossed the cassette, the tape recording cassette in his hand, then cut up the tape into little tiny pieces to destroy it so there was no way it could ever be reconstituted. What was on that tape? We will never know because it was destroyed. Why was it destroyed? Well, I think we'd only conjecture. So it's just like deja vu all over again. It happens over and over again. But the one thing we do know is because of the war of terror, we've got to give up the America. We've got to give up our freedom. Of course, we can't profile Muslims because that wouldn't be nice. So we've got to treat everybody as if they're a terrorist. And now in New York City, when you get on the train, every 20th person or 15th person, why, they're going to search your bags and search you to make sure you're not a Muslim terrorist, really hiding, behind that white wig, looking like an 85-year-old white woman.
That's right. They are searching people. They are searching through their bags. Normally, this is considered to be, a legal difficulty because of the constitutional prohibitions against unauthorized search and seizure, and against arrest without cause. They have been doing this more and more recently, and especially in New York City. In fact, there was an interesting interview with CNN's Carol Costello, who was talking with Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani was discussing how he happened to be in London at the time that the London bombs went off, along with so many other people who were in London. He describes how he says, I was right near Liverpool Street Station when the first bomb went off and was notified of it. He says that it was eerie. It was very eerie to be right there again when one of these attacks takes place. Of course, he's talking about the major terrorist attack, and he was, of course, in New York during 9/11. Carol Costello says, in New York, they're checking people's bags at metro stations now. Why didn't that come earlier? Giuliani says, well, I think that with each one of these things, you sort of have a heightened sensitivity. And you can say to yourself, well, now we can do more. Maybe also the public patients will tolerate more. You can push it a little further.
Now we can do more. The public patients will tolerate it, and now we can do more. It almost sounds like they're using these terrorist attacks to progressively increase government control of our lives.
That's right. Giuliani goes on to say, you know, we do a lot more checking at an airport today than we did before September 11th, 2001. If you tried to do that before September 11th, as we maybe wanted to do, but there would have been a huge public outcry. And so it's very clear that that these kinds of terrorist activities, whether it's September 11th, whether it's the London bombing or other things, are playing into the hands of the of people like Rudy Giuliani, who believe that that Americans need to have a greater sense of a security, quote unquote, imposed upon them by the government and law enforcement agencies.
And yet, of course, if you look at London, London is the most surveilled city in the entire world. Far more surveillance there than there is in Moscow under the height of the communist rule. And yet it didn't prevent the bombing. But they knew the bombing was coming. The Pakistanis have been trolling. They're going to go after your means of transportation, your trains. And yet they've relaxed the rules and regulations just before the bombing, just like they did here in the United States, knowing there was going to be a hijacking. Number one, they passed a law that no pilot, 2 months ahead of time, no pilot could carry a weapon. Before, many of the pilots did carry weapons. Suddenly they took that away from them. They lowered the requirements as far as people getting on. In other words, nine of the terrorists, 19 terrorists, were stopped on the morning of 9/11. But because they'd lowered the requirements, for getting on, knowing full well there was going to be a terrorist attack, the 9 terrorists got on the plane. We've got the clippings on that. And to this very day, why they're not allowed to profile Muslims, we couldn't do that sort of thing. Well, we have to search the pilot who's going to get on the plane because he might be carrying explosives and want to blow it up. What sort of madness is this? And when are the American people going to realize that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king? No, go ahead, Derek.
I agree. It is a certain amount of madness when we recognize that all of the activities involved in prosecuting the war on terror, whether it's searching people's bags at the subway or whether it's shipping people off to be tortured in Far Eastern countries or Middle Eastern countries, all of these things have nothing to do with providing real security for the American people, and they simply do not stop the terrorists from doing whatever it is that they need to. They are not security related. The only thing these activities seem to do is increase the power of government and decrease the liberties of citizens.
Amen to that. Well, Derek, before we forget, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with World Affairs Brief, and how they could perhaps even get a free copy of that, and where they would go to get the information that you put up on the internet every single day.
Sure. To get a free copy of the World Affairs Brief mailed to you as a sample, we have a toll-free number to call, and that is toll-free 877-518-5888. That's, again, 877-518-5888. And if you call that number, they will send you a sample copy of the latest World Affairs Brief, which has the analysis from the key news stories that are happening all over the world to help provide visibility into what kind of agenda is being prosecuted and how that may impact us here and in the United States or wherever we may be reading this on a personal level. To find out more about World Affairs Brief and to hear what kind of news stories are probably the best to keep up with on a day-to-day basis out of that ocean of information out there on the internet, go to www.worldaffairsbrief.com and check out the news stories that we post there. There's a link there to subscribe to the weekly email newsletter that we send out every week to help help me and to help everyone else keep up with what's going on in among all the news stories throughout the world.
And, you know, I think we really need to look effectively at what's going on in Iraq today. We have an insurgency, and it costs money to finance this. Many of the bombers, you know, they pay off several tens of thousands of dollars to the families of the bombers who blow themselves up. So where is the money coming from? Well, it's coming from Saudi Arabia, our good friends in Saudi Arabia that we're protecting from lawsuits. It's coming from Pakistan, and we're giving a couple of $1 billion to Pakistan every year. It's coming from Syria, and our CIA is working with the Syrian intelligence. It's coming from Iran, and remember, who was it who toppled the Shah and brought the Ayatollahs to power back in 1979? Why, the American CIA. Now, what's wrong with this picture? If you cut off the funds, you'd cut off the insurgency. It almost seems like if we cut off the insurgency, how could we justify keeping our troops there permanently? And if we were going to keep our troops there permanently, why are we building 14 major military bases? Why are we building the largest embassy anywhere in the world, a new embassy right there in Iraq? I don't believe we have any intention of pulling our troops out. But I think we need the insurgency, we need the instability to justify keeping our troops there, not only for the American people, but for the rest of the world. So if you understand that nothing is as it appears to be, then everything begins to make sense. Pick up the story there, Derek.
Yes, absolutely. There is clearly a long-term strategy in the Middle East, and there's a long-term foreign policy. The Congress is right now considering a budget proposition to allocate $410 billion over the next 10 years for Iraq, for prosecuting the war on terror in Iraq specifically. And so if they're applying $410 billion to maintain a military presence in Iraq for 10 years, it's very clear that that the money, the policies, the infrastructure, and everything is being set up for a very long-term involvement in the Middle East, and certainly not as we often see in the press that we will be getting out as soon as possible, as we've often heard recently from some of the administrative officials both in the U.S. and Britain.
Well, of course, I remember when we were in Bosnia and Bill Clinton said our troops will be home by November. He just didn't mention which November. They're still there. And I have to understand that there is an agenda. If you doubt that we plan to keep our troops there indefinitely, go to newamericancentury.org website. That's the project for the New American Century, newamericancentury.org. I'll pull down the treatise they have there on rebuilding America's defenses, and I think it's on page 14 where they talk about this is published in the year 2000 before 9/11, how we have to have our troops permanently stationed in Iraq. How we have to have our troops permanently stationed in Iraq. That's what it's all about. That'll be covered in our next newsletter. And the exact reference, if that page I gave you isn't correct, will be there. So you must understand that we're not being told the truth. They don't want the American people to know that long before the September 11th attack, we planned to station our troops permanently in the Middle East. We just need an excuse. Why? Because America is the empire that is going to dominate the world. And the center of Eurasia, you know, is where we're going to keep our troops, because Eurasia is the key to the world. Most of the wealth is there. Most of the people are there. And America, if we are to be truly an empire, has to dominate it. That's what they're not telling us. That's what the real plan is. That's why we have troops in 130 nations throughout the world. You really think that, you know, we're dedicated simply to protecting ourselves from the wicked communists? Go ahead, Derek.
That's right. 130 nations at the same time that we are closing bases in the United States, and it's very clear that there is this dispersion of U.S. force out throughout the entire world, and it is following not a domestic agenda but a foreign policy agenda that is moved not in the interests of Christian principles or patriotic morality or even U.S. Security interests. But it follows a need to maintain a global agenda and a global presence to move the world in an entirely different direction, separate from American interests.
And I believe that there are people in the key positions of both political parties who want a new world order, a new world religion, a new world financial system, and it's coming. Derek Skousen, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we look forward to having you later here this week or next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Goodbye, and God bless. All right, that was Derek Skousen of World Affairs Brief. Always a pleasure to have him, giving us an entirely different look at what's going on. And you're not going to hear this from, the mainline conservatives. Well, we'll be right back in just a moment here. at Radio Liberty. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. There are many imponderable things in the world so difficult to understand unless you understand there is another dimension out there. There is a spiritual dimension, and that really many of the leaders of this world are energized by that spiritual dimension. If you have not yet read my latest newsletter, that's the Occult Hierarchy Part 2, you can pull it down off the internet at radioliberty.com, or we'd be glad to send you a free copy if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And there is really this other dimension out there. Let me suggest that you would perhaps want to get the book that we refer to. It's written by a high government official who tells you who some of the people are in leading this whole movement to control the world. The book is called Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. It is available from Radio Liberty. We have a series of books that are called Foreknowledge. And there are three pamphlets. They're really compilations of my newsletters. Very convenient, very easy to read, and each one's probably 40 or 50 pages. But they're something that you would want to have. It's got all the documentation there to help you better understand what happened. So if you'd like to get the pamphlets on 411 or 911 Foreknowledge or Foreknowledge of 911, these booklets are available. Along with a booklet entitled The History of Money, another one on genetic engineering, and Population Control, you'll find that these booklets are fascinating. They're only $3.95 each. And we hope, of course, you want, after reading them, you'll want to get more and pass them on to your friends. Because these are newsletters I've agonized over, but the information is valid and will help you better to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it by itself or with a Brotherhood of Darkness special, which includes a video and an audio tape. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to getting the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions, and at least two of them are available on DVD. You need to get the videos, Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, because they go into great depths on the true nature of the spiritual battle that's going on. If you are out there in the leading audience, and or in the listening audience, and you are intrigued by this NBC program they have called The Medium, and it is a fascinating program. This woman who's able to contact this other dimension and get this information to help the district attorney, who's such a nice fellow, solve all the crimes and bring the bad guys to justice. And understand, the program is based upon the real-life story of a real-life medium. But where does the power come from? Does it come from the good side or the bad side? And can the demonic side actually do good things? Well, you need to get the book we carry by Johanna Michelson, The Beautiful Side of Evil. The Beautiful Side of Evil, because Johanna was a medium, and Chris, you'd like to order some of my interviews with her. We have 3 or 4 or more interviews that will give you a tremendous insight into what is really going on in the other world. And there is another dimension, ladies and gentlemen. And there is a spiritual battle that's going on for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization that most Christians are unaware of because they're not being taught about it. And yet, if you go into the Bible, you'll find out there's a conspiracy against God. It's mentioned repeatedly in the King James Version of the Bible. Of course, they've taken that knowledge out of so many of the newer versions. After all, they don't want you even to mention Lucifer. Lucifer is not mentioned in any one of the Bibles other than the King James Version. Why is that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a conspiracy against God, and we hope many of you, of course, will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, that you'll call us at 1-800-544-8927 and take advantage of the information that we have for you. To help others, tell them about our programs, get them listening to our programs, let me convince them. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.